If I may, I want to bring in Pramila Jayapal from Seattle, Washington right now. EJ, Nina, a newly elected congresswoman, represents Washington State's 7th Congressional District. She's the first Indian-American woman elected to Congress. An immigrant rights activist scored an endorsement from Bernie Sanders last spring. Pramila Jayapal, welcome. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Tom.
Congratulations on your election victory. You pulled it together there in a pretty liberal district in Seattle. Nationally, what do you think the Democratic Party needs to do to get back in the saddle?
Well, I think that there's a couple of things. First of all, I think, I don't know if I've heard this mentioned, but we did have lower voter turnout this year than we did in 2012. And I do think we have a lot of work to do to make sure that we are getting people out to the polls, but also that voting is made easier for people. That is a huge piece of this. I think, secondly, I really believe that part of this has to be about talking about the intersection of economics and race together and gender together. Because if you look at the election results, I think what you'd see is, yes, Trump won a lot of working class white support. But it is also true that I saw something that said that the majority of people that voted for him describe their heritage as American. And I do think you've got to look at these two things together. If we look at the future of the Democratic Party, things like raising the minimum wage and really making our commitment clear, we did get it into the platform, but many of the minimum wage increases that we've seen across the country, including in liberal Democratic states, have been done at the ballot. They haven't necessarily been done by legislatures. Democrats need to get behind things like raising the minimum wage. I think we also have to be clear about where we stand on trade deals, because we can say that we're for working class white folks or working class people across the country. But if we're not understanding the impact that some of these trade deals have had on those very working class white people across the country that voted for Trump, then we will continue to not have a clear message about what we stand for. I do not think, and I've been listening to the show with tremendous interest, a lot of respect for everybody on the show. I don't think that the way forward is to back off of the issues of race and gender, but I do think we have to incorporate real policy discussions about how we lift up the economics for everybody. And we have to be very clear that we are going to fight for people who are earning the least in this country and who feel like they don't have opportunity as Democrats. I served in the Washington State Senate, and I'll tell you, I introduced the minimum wage bill in the Washington State Senate, and we could not get everybody in our caucus to embrace it. That is something that we are going to have to deal with. As we say that we fight for working people, we're going to have to make sure our policies reflect that.
Race, gender, and economics for all. That's not so easy. I want to get a caller right in on that, EJ, if I may. Eric in Madison, Wisconsin. Eric, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
When we broke all the unions and broke the unions, that basically the Democratic Party lost their revenues, and that's when the working class people lost the voice, and now we have nothing but a huge corporate empire, a complete right wing corporate empire. And good luck to the working man.
Well, Donald Trump connected with a bunch of them somehow this week, Eric. What do you make of that? Why wasn't it Democrats?
I have no idea.
Tom, could I come in on that?
Absolutely, EJ, please.
Two things. One is, I agree with the gentleman very much that the breaking of the unions has really hurt the Democratic Party. And what you saw historically is working class voters who belong to unions were always more likely to vote Democratic. And so what you've lost is a sense of solidarity and an argument that unions were always making and an organizing force. I also agree with the state senator that economics can be a unifying issue. Since no one else is doing it, I do want to speak up a bit for Hillary Clinton. Yes, she made her mistakes. The fact of the matter is her slogan was stronger together. She had a lot of policies that were actually very pro-working class. Now, you can argue, and I think I would argue, that the campaign counted too much much on making Donald Trump an unacceptable figure to be president, even though I personally believe that was true, and did not push enough of the policy in a, you know, in a moving way, not simply a here's 16 position papers yep. way to the fore in the election. I mean, one of my favorite poll questions, do you think Donald Trump has temperament to serve effectively as president? Clinton persuaded people he didn't. 63% said no, but 20% of those people voted for Trump anyway. And so I think that Clinton had the makings of it there. She'd faced the Comey downdraft for 9 days at the end of the election. But I do think she needed a stronger economic message that was implicit in a lot of the programs she had endorsed, but she couldn't make it stick as a clear and focused argument.
Get it right out front. Hassan is calling. Hassan, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Listen, I think that the Democrats really don't seem to understand what caused Hillary to lose this election. There are many different reasons, but let's talk on a personal level. What do people mean by working class or non-educated voters? I don't know who has a degree and who doesn't have a degree. And I think that caused a lot of problems for independents. When you say somebody is non-educated, is that a buzzword for somebody who is not as intelligent as a voter? And I think that caused a lot of problems. And also, Democrats seem to be avoiding the real issues. The policies is what caused people not to go for the Democrats and even Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders didn't even win in the primary. It's the policies. People got tired of Obamacare, the rising costs. People got tired of big government. Those are the issues, not all of this other racial stuff and what Trump said.
Hassan, you think somehow Democrats were insulting working-class Americans somehow?
Absolutely.
Why?
Absolutely. They're very condescending when you say somebody's a non-educated voter. How do you know?
Well, I mean, Donald Trump said he loves the poorly educated. He put it right out there, but said he loves it, and he got a lot of vote. Nina, how do you respond to Hassan?
Well, you know, Hassan is speaking some truth. You know, the Republican convention was in my hometown in Cleveland, Ohio, and mm-hmm. I went downtown and I talked to some of the Republicans, and many of them were supporters of President-elect Trump. And you know what? They wanted the same things that the people in my community want. They want to know that their children are going to have a future. They want to know that they can live in safe neighborhoods. They want to know that the working class and middle class in this country will have a fighting chance. Those are the things they want. Now, we may disagree on how to get there, but I think Hassan's point is right. You don't punch down. You don't Democrats collectively, some in the elite, were very condescending to a great number of the voters in this country. And that is part of the reason why we lost. We have to begin to talk the language of people's hearts, even if we disagree with them philosophically or ideologically, and try to win them over. You know, Stephen Covey once said, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And we talked across one another in this election cycle. And that's what happens, I guess, when you put the two most unfavorable candidates to go head to head, a lot of mudslinging, a lot of drama. Now we have a lot of fear that is permeating our country, and we're going to have to get back together, even if we disagree ideologically, but at least to have the conversation and not talk down to people. So Hassan is making a very strong point.
Representative Jayapal, you just won. Others lost. Hillary Clinton lost. The Democrats did not get the Senate. How would you restructure? What's the change you'd make before the next time out? Got a half a minute here.
Well, I just think that we do have to have these conversations with people on their doors, in their homes, not through all of the big media that's out there. But, you know, when I look at what we did, we pulled together a coalition here of union folks, of working class people, of women, of people of color. That is the way forward. But we've got to do it through listening to what people's fears are, acknowledging that they're real, and then crafting real policy that lifts people up from the bottom.
Representative Pramila Jayapal, newly elected to Congress from Washington State's 7th Congressional District. Congratulations on your win, and thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Nina Turner in Cleveland, Ohio, it's always great to have you here. Thank you for joining us today, Nina.
Thank you, Tom. A pleasure.
And EJ Dion with the Washington Post out of Washington. EJ, a word of encouragement or warning for Democrats looking ahead?
don't mourn, organize. I think that there will be a lot of mistakes made in the next 4 years, and that always helps an opposition.